You know, so many times we try to, Rhonda and I, we try to put the special music with the message and kind of tie those in. I hope you've figured that out. Sometimes we try to do that. But this Sunday was not one of those, okay? I heard that song and I go, wow. It must be a reminder for some of us, somebody in here, no matter what you're going through, that God is the God of the possible. Nothing is too big for our God. And I wanted to make sure that I reminded you of that, because I know life is hard and gets difficult. But nothing is too big for God to handle in your life. As we begin our service, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brian to lead us up, Bubby. Amen. Thank you, Brian. We'll be in Matthew, if you want to turn there. Matthew 5 is where we will start. The title of the lesson is Blessed in 2026. But the more I thought about that, I want to change the title of Doing Life God's Way in 2026. How's that? Doing Life God's Way. If you'll notice that when you get to chapter 5, it is the beginning of the Beatitudes. So we're going to be looking at some of those today and probably next week, okay? We live in a world where people think happiness and joy and satisfaction comes with how much we have, how much money we have, how much possessions that we have, and we spend so much time and energy and effort in that, don't we? We go to work and we get rewarded from our work and we have the money and sometimes we strive to have more money and we need more things and we all want to have the finer things in life, and I'm not here condemning any of that. I mean, God has called us to work and to acquire and those kind of things. And so many times people base their happiness on what they've got or what they're striving for out there someday. And yet we know, do we not, that happiness and contentment and satisfaction never comes from material possessions. Oh, it might be for just a little bit, okay? But we know eventually all those things that we have put all this time and effort and tears and blood and sweat and all that kind of stuff, eventually we know, do we not, that the material things of this world will never bring us lasting happiness. Because those things one day will rust and rot and they will wear out. And we spend all that time acquiring, and yet what good are they now? We know in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, it says, what does it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? What profit is it to seek happiness, joy, and contentment in these worldly possessions, and yet you never think about doing life God's way, and you just ignore our God? You know, we know, or the world will tell us, that to be happy is based on what's happening in your life, if you stop and think about that. If you just think, well, I want to be happy, but I'm happy when my happy is when things are good. And when things turn south for the winter are not so good, I am not so happy. And we base our happiness on what's happening in our life. But you see, God has a different definition of that. He said he would tell us that happiness does not come from our circumstances. Happiness comes and joy comes, contentment comes with the assurance of God's blessings and the assurance of God's promises in our lives. those for right now, those for the future, and those for an eternity. You see, that's what we'll find where happiness is. Happiness does not come from material. Happiness comes from doing life God's way. And today, as we look at these verses, the first five verses, I want you to keep that thought in your mind about doing life God's way, because He is going to tell us in His Word through these Beatitudes and other ones, of course, where does that happiness come from? Where does that joy come from? Where does that self-sufficiency come through Him? Where does that come from? Well, we're going to look here and see what it has to say, okay? Let's look at verse 1 and 2 of chapter 5, and we will start there. And I hope as we look at this message today, it springs us forward to 2026 and helping us to see how God wants us to live. Verse 1 and 2, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on the mountain, and after He had sat down, the disciples came to Him. He opened His mouth and began to teach them, saying, when Jesus saw the crowds, Jesus looked out from where He was on this mountain, and He sees this massive amount of people, and He sees their needs. He knows their needs. He knows their plight. He knows what's in store for these people. And he knows that He personally cannot get to every one of these people. And He loves them so much. He has compassion for them. But He knows, just as a person would not be able to touch the lives of all of these folks. So we see in verses 1 and 2 that He calls His disciples together. And He says, I want to teach you about these kinds of things. I want to teach you in chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. I want to teach you, disciples, so that, disciples, you can go out and minister to everybody else. And I suggest to you today that He, as He was teaching the disciples that, is He not teaching you and I the very same thing? As we learn the teachings of Jesus here on these pages, we are to take those and absorb those, and we are to go out and minister to other people. The Sunday school lesson today was serving others. I mean, that's a beautiful tie-in right there, that we are called to do that. We are called to take His word, live life God's way, and then we are to go out and tell the world about what we've learned here. And that is exactly what Jesus is doing in these Beatitudes and in these chapters. Living life God's way, and here's how we do it. Let's look at verse 3. It says, "This blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. That word blessed is a kind of a interesting word. It's a word that says, and his connotation is, and he's trying to tell us, guys and gals, spiritual joy, spiritual satisfaction, spiritual happiness is not affected by circumstances. But it carries us through the darkest times of our life. That's being blessed. That will carry us through the times of sorrow and pain and grief. And will carry us through that. And will take us through that tunnel of darkness in our lives. And get us to the other side of that tunnel, into the light of the world. And we've all kind of experienced that, I'm sure, in many things that we have had to deal with. You see, that's the kind of blessing that he wants to give us. That blessing that has nothing to do with life. It has everything to do with taking us through the hard times of life. You can truly say, I've been blessed, if that's the kind of blessings that you have. Earthly blessings will never get us to that point. So he says, we are blessed. Who are those blessed? Those are blessed who are poor in spirit. Well, that's an exciting way to start, isn't it? I mean, we're blessed because when we have a poor spirit, when we're poor financially, when we're poor emotionally, Is that what he's talking about? I don't think that's what he is talking about here. I believe he's talking about being the poor in spirit. Is that the Holy Spirit coming in? Yeah. Come on in, bro. Come on in. I believe poor in spirit tells us this, that we are solely dependent upon God for the things that we have and the things that we need. He's locked out.
She's not latching.
Not latching? All right, well, we'll get that fixed. Yep. The poor in spirit. We are totally, solely dependent upon God to provide for our needs. And when you go, Don, well, that's crazy. I can do my own thing. I make my own living. I have abilities and gifts that he's given to me to do it. I don't really need God to provide for me. Anybody see anything wrong with that? God has given you those abilities. He's given you those gifts to do what he's called you to do. I mean, I there is no way I could ever be a farmer. I mean, I don't have any skills like that, but there's some things that he's given me that I can do. And you see, that's for every one of us. And as God has blessed you with a gift or a blessing of some sort, being poor in the spirit said, man, I thank you, Father. I'm solely dependent upon you for what you have given to me and what you're going to give to me. That is being poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means that the only way that I will ever have spiritual joy and spiritual happiness is through a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I can't do it on my own. I don't have that ability. But I can when I have that spiritual relationship with Jesus. I believe being poor in spirit is choosing to live a life humbly. Humbly. Putting God first and the things of God first in our lives. I believe that's being poor in spirit. And another one that I thought of that just kind of comes, it's hard to maybe grasp. Being poor in spirit says, I know everybody needs Jesus in their life. I know everybody needs Jesus. Being poor in spirit says, when I look at people out there that come into my life, every one of them needs Jesus, do they not? And I think, you know, one time in my life, I needed Jesus in my life. And we look at people and we discard them and judge them and all that kind of stuff. But being poor in the spirit, I believe, said, man, you need Jesus in your life because of the consequences of without having Jesus. Poor in spirit says we take away all the material kind of pursuits and we pursue God in our life as a number one priority. Well, then it says after the poor in spirit, what is the reward for being poor in spirit? And the Bible says what? It says the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, probably in some translations. And I wonder what that means. Well, let me take a shot at it, okay? It means if you have been born again, truly born again, you are on a team that has been forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. If you're poor in spirit and you have made Christ your Lord and Savior, guess what? You are with a small group of people, your team, that has been saved and forgiven and cleansed for an eternity. That's not something to sneeze at, guys. That is a huge deal. That is part of the kingdom of God, knowing that you have been born again and saved. The second thing I think we can see here of the result of being poor in spirit is you're on a team that can have sweet fellowship with other believers. And that's one of the things that we've talked about in here many times about fellowship, getting along with others, loving God and loving others. I like what it says in Acts 2:42, that first church talks about this sweet spirit that we have to have as a body. And it says this of that first church in Acts 2. And this is my prayer for this church. And it says, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, number one. They continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They looked forward to learning about what God's word said. They looked forward to hearing good preaching and hearing good teaching. They had a desire to know more about what was in God's word. Because you see, they want to be around those kind of people. And then it says they were devoted to apostles' teaching into fellowship. They enjoyed being around each other. The kingdom of God says, because we have a common denominator in Christ, I enjoy and I love being around other people. I love the fellowship. And I've told you before, I'll say it again, that it is such a blessing to my heart that when we get done here, how many folks linger talking to each other. Linger and talk, not sprinting out the back door, but just want to stay and visit with somebody. That is true fellowship. That is the way it should be. That was what it was in the first church, and that's what it needs to be in this church. Apostles teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, enjoying each other's company in small groups. And then it says in that verse, and prayer. Spending time talking to the Lord in prayer. You see, that's what this church did. Apostles teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, praying. And because we are poor in spirit, we want those things in our life. What a blessing that is, that we're no longer on an island, but we are a part of a team that loves each other and loves God. And then the third thing I would say about the kingdom of God is we have eternal life forever and forever. And we will spend eternity with all of those friends and family members that were truly been born again. I mean, that's the kingdom of God, you see? And if we want to be poor in spirit, that's the reward for that, okay? And if that doesn't make you happy, if that doesn't bring joy to you, that you're a part of that kind of a team, then something's wrong. Because that should bring you kind of joy. That is in essence doing life God's way. Okay? And living life. And when we do God's way in our life, I promise you happiness and joy and contentment will come to your life. It's impossible not to. But we've got to get away from ourselves and do it God's way. The second beatitude that we see here is in verse 4. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Does that mean we just walk around all day, sad face, droopy, being depressed all the time? No, it doesn't mean that. It says, blessed are those that mourn. That word mourn there, it is the kind of mourning that we do, that deep-seated, that groaning, that we deal with the loss of a loved one, that kind of mourning, that deep hurt, that helplessness sometimes feeling. It is that kind of grief that never leaves us. That's how the Bible is defined in that mourning, that deep-seated hurt that doesn't seem to want to go away. And we are to be like that. That's who we are to be in some situations, not all the time, but sometimes. I think some of the times that we are to mourn like that, and you guys know this, is at the personal kind of a tragedy. When something happens, a loss of life, the loss of something, and we have that kind of mourning and that kind of hurt and that kind of grief. And the Bible says what? If you are in that position, you shall be comforted. You shall be comforted. But you know, Jesus always takes things to the next level when he's talking, okay? And the things that he talks about, it's not always just physical kinds of things. He'll be speaking about spiritual things. And here are two other ways I think that we are to mourn that deep groaning, that hurt in our lives. And that is, number one, we are to mourn over our sinfulness. When was the last time you mourned over your sin? When was the last time you hurt because you have hurt the heart of God? you have missed the mark in your life, when you have said no to God when God says yes to do. And sin comes into our life. When was the last time you mourned over your sin? The Bible is talking about we are to mourn over our sinfulness. But I'm not sure we do. The second thing that we are to mourn over, or the third thing, I guess, we are to mourn over the suffering of others. When we see others suffering, that should affect us. When we see the sinfulness of others, that should affect us. When we see the lostness of a friend, a family member, or somebody else, I believe we are called to mourn over that. When was the last time, and when I ask you that question, I'm asking me the same question. When was the last time I mourned over that person that I knew for without a doubt that if they were to die today, they would spend eternity in hell? When was the last time I mourned for them? When was the last time I cried for them? I grieved for them, for their soul to be saved. You see, we can mourn over personal tragedy, and we're supposed to. But I believe Jesus says there's more to just personal tragedy to mourn over. It is your sinfulness that separates you from God. It is the lostness of other people that need Jesus. When was the last time, when was the last time you prayed for that lost person in your life? Not even talking about grieving or mourning for them. Just when was the last time you prayed for them? Said, Father, they need your son. You see, this Christian life is more than just us getting through it and being happy. It is doing life God's way and saying, you're not here by yourself. You're here to help and serve other people. We are to mourn over those kinds of things. And the result of that mourning, the result of that, it says we will be comforted. When we experience a tragedy in our lives, Jesus is called the man of sorrows for a reason. Did you know it? He's called a man of sorrows because whatever you are experiencing in terms of a tragedy, a difficulty, whatever, he already been there and done that. Okay? He's experienced everything that you would be experiencing. And he says, when that happens, the man of sorrow will draw near to you and bring you comfort. That's pretty good stuff, you know what? A man of sorrows who's been there wants to comfort you like only he can comfort you. When we mourn over our sin, you know what he does? He gives us an assurance that yes, you're still one of mine. You're still one of mine. Okay? I haven't kicked you to the curb, God would say. When you mourn over your sin, he will assure you that you have been forgiven of that and all of that, whatever that looks like. He says, I will cleanse you with all that unrighteousness, that dirt that's hanging over your life right now. When you mourn over your sin, I will cleanse all of that. And then he says, you know, I will make sure that you understand that you are still accepted by me. And the last one that I want to throw at you because of that, when we mourn over our sins and we're comforted, is the beautiful part of that is he will restore you to where you were. I thought of the Apostle Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. No, no, no. And he was about to quit the faith. And what happened? Jesus came to him and he restored him and got him back on his feet and said, go, I got another mission for you, Peter. He'll do the very same thing for you when you mourn over your sin. He wants to restore you. He wants to get you off of your seat, put you back on your feet and get you back in the game, doing life God's way. I don't know about you, but that is exciting to me. When we do life God's way, we can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Did you know it? When we do life God's way and he brings that comfort to us, that phrase that came to mind from 2 Corinthians, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I don't know about you, but how much comfort does that bring you when the loss of a loved one? Oh my goodness. Knowing that they're in heaven. Knowing they're dancing on the streets of gold. Knowing that they're rubbing shoulders with Jesus. Knowing that they're probably looking down at us at some point. That's comfort, is it not? It is for me, and I pray it is for you. Let me give you a couple more comforts that he gives to us. You know, he says, one day there'll be no more tears, no more death, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain. One day. I don't know about you, but that's good stuff. Don't we not look forward to that? That's a comfort to me. I hope it's a comfort to you. And one other form of comfort I think that he gives us when we mourn, and however we mourn, is that he has given us a promise that he will always, always, always love us. You understand that? He always loves us. Romans 8, I love Romans 8 where it says this. He says, but I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor things present or things to come, no height, no power, no depth, nothing can separate us from the love of God. I don't know about you, but that's comforting. When life seems to collapse, I mourn over my sin. That is comforting. That's doing life God's way, I believe. Who wouldn't want that kind of comfort? Real quickly, I will give you one more, then we'll be done. And it's verse 5. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the gentle or the meek. Well, that's a problem for most guys, because aren't we called to be macho men? And yet God says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the gentle. Who are those guys, real quickly? Those guys that are meek and those guys that are gentle. Those guys that are, they are strong, but they're humble. They have control over their emotions. They just don't fly off the handle. They know a lot of stuff, but they don't know a lot of stuff and they know it. The meek and the gentle are people that are the opposite of them are those people that we know in our lives that are arrogant, confident, self-sufficient, conceited, prideful. The opposite of that is the meekness of people and the humbleness of people. They are humble before God. They're humble before men. They seek the Lord. They forgive and don't seek revenge. And they have a quiet spirit about him towards God and towards other people. Surely you know people like that who have this quiet spirit as you deal with them. Jesus said, blessed are those kind of men and women that have this kind of attitude. And what is the significance of that? They will inherit the earth. They will inherit the earth. Well, what does that mean, inherit the earth? I mean, the Bible tells us one of these days, that we will rule and reign with Christ in the millennium, 1,000-year reign. The Bible says you will rule and reign. And then after the millennium, the Bible tells us there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where you and I will rule and reign there. Okay? But it's got to be more than that. It means more than that. Okay? It means more than that. It means that right now, even as we speak, you can experience the abundant life. You can have an abundant life right now. And God wants to show us the beauty. He wants to bless us with his beauty, bless us with his word. We can have an abundant life right now. That is inheriting the earth. Right now, you can know your purpose in life. You can know your significance in life. You can know why you're here, okay? Because you are gentle and you're meek in your attitude towards others. You can have victory over anything that comes into your life. Did you know that? You can have victory, the good times and the bad times, because you know the Bible says in Romans 8:28, everything's going to work out to good who love him. And he's going to take that and mold and shape you into a person who he wants you to be. Yes, yes, we are to be gentle, and we will inherit the earth one day, and we can do it right now. In conclusion, let me wrap up here pretty quick. You want joy in 2026. You want happiness. You want satisfaction. I would urge you to do life God's way. I would urge you to be poor in spirit. I would urge you to mourn for those things that need to be mourned for. I would urge you to be gentle and meek. Why would I do that? Because that's what God's word tells us. And we'll be rewarded with the kingdom of heaven. We'll be rewarded with comfort. We'll be rewarded with eternal life just because of that. Spiritual joy, spiritual happiness only will come by doing life God's way. World's way will never work for you. I promise you that. I would urge you in 2026 to pursue life doing it God's way. To pursue Him first, seek Him first. We'll see that next week. To see what His Word says, and not what the world says, but what His world says, what the Word of God says. And I would urge you to do that, to be obedient to that. Pursue God's joy, pursue God's happiness in the way that you choose to live your life. As we begin our invitation time. Well, Don, how do we do that? How do I become what God's word says to be poor in spirit? How do I do that? How do I mourn for the right things in life? How do I do that? Don, how do I become gentle and meek like He's told me to be, and yet I don't want to be that? How do I do that, Don? Well, the only answer to that I can give to you is to ask God to help you with that, okay? There's no scientific formula. There's nothing I can give to you, but I can tell you this. If you ask God, God, show me, teach me, make me into somebody that is poor in spirit. Father, teach me how to mourn for the things that I need to mourn for. And Father, teach me how to be meek and gentle. If that is your prayer, I promise you God will hear that prayer and He will answer that prayer. If that is your heart's desire to be that, and I hope it is your heart's desire, because that is doing life God's way. As we bow our heads and close our eyes for the invitation, that is the challenge. Do you want to do life God's way? Do you want to be blessed in 2026? Do you want to be poor and to mourn and to... I would urge you to do business with God right now. Let Him change you if you want to be changed. As the piano plays, speak to the Father. Because true happiness, true joy, true satisfaction only comes through our Lord and our Savior.